Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi everybody. Apparently, we did not have an intro to the show. I'll have to check my settings. I want to thank everybody for coming on to the show today. You've reached a Healthy Mind and Body radio show. My name is Michael Harris, and I am a hypnotherapist in Dallas, Texas. I'm also a business coach, and I do personal coaching. I thought we'd talk about, you know, hey, it's January. You probably noticed that every year everybody comes up and they go, okay, this year I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to change their they're going to change their lives completely. And you know, I said in the promo that we were going to skip over the part where people don't really start. But, I mean, this is really important. 78% of all people in the first 3 months of the year will have already given up, failed, or never even gotten started with their New Year's resolution, with their goals. Okay? And this seems to be fairly significant. And what I thought we'd do today is talk about the difference between long-term and short-term goals. Because what I've noticed is that people, they approach all goal setting the same way. And some people reach their goal, some people get halfway through, some people barely finish, and some people don't do anything at all. And my analogy is that short-term goals are kind of like making a cake. You know, you got to figure out what kind of cake you're going to make. You go to the store and you buy a recipe for it, and whatever additional ingredients that you need, and you take it home and you make the cake. Now, hopefully, somebody has taught you how to make a cake, because if you haven't, and you put the ingredients in a random order other than the way that it says on the back of the box, you're going to get something really interesting if you leave the eggs out, or if you know put everything together and then you put it into the oven, let it cook for a couple of minutes, you go, oh, yeah, I forgot to put the milk in, and you take it out and put the milk in. It's not really going to turn out the way that you want it to. But let's say that you actually do put it together the way that it's supposed to do. You've cooked your cake, you frost it, you eat your cake. That's pretty much the end of your goal. And there's no plan in the future for making another cake or going to the cake business. So let's kind of talk about long-term goals versus the difference between long-term and short-term goals. A long-term goal is something that it's going to take a period of time for you to accomplish this goal. You know, whether it's you want to lose weight or you want to become a multimillionaire, or you want to go to school and get a new career, go back to grad school. Whatever it is that you want to do, but it's something that can't be done as a one-time event. And one of the things that I want to emphasize is that you're already doing long-term goals. It just may be so automated that you don't know how it is that you're creating this success over and over, and then you take on this new project and you discover, you know, that you don't have the slightest clue about how you're actually succeeding in these other areas of your life. So let's start with something simple. You can follow along with me if you have a goal. Let's go ahead and work on that. And if you don't have a goal, think about this, or maybe you want to listen to the show a time or two and think about what it is specifically that you want to accomplish. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick the easy one, because everybody wants to, you know, exercise. They want to lose weight, or they want to get into shape and everything. And I think personally, most people, they just want to look good naked. They just don't want to tell anybody. Okay, so regardless of whatever it is that you want, if you just have a goal of I want to lose weight, or I'm going to go on a diet, or I'm going to get into shape, one of the things that you need to pay attention to is that this is really, really vague. And you need to zero in on what specifically that you want. What does being in shape look like, or feel like, or sound like to you? How much weight do you wish to lose? Is it 10 pounds? Is it 100 pounds? Is it 50 pounds? And, you know, kind of zero in on that. And what I tell my clients is that you need to get your goal down into like seven words or less. And, you know, so it'd be like, I want to lose 50 pounds this year. And that's probably more than seven words, but hey, we'll just keep right on rolling. If you're picking a goal like this, let's just go ahead and stay with this, okay? If you're going to go into an exercise program or a dieting program, one of the things that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to plan for it. If you're going to join a gym or you're going to do a home program, you're going to hire a personal trainer, you have to find that person or that gym or that diet that you want to participate in. How do you go about doing that? There's hundreds, if not thousands, of choices that you can make. My suggestion that you pick something that is close to your home, 5 miles or less, and that you and you're going to have to pick a time that you're going to do this. Specifically, if you're going to be dieting or something like that, starting a diet without planning your meals and taking your food with you and stuff like that is absolutely the best way I know of to fail miserably. Same thing with an exercise program, is that you need to pick a time, a specific time and place that you're going to go, and you need to put that big rock into your schedule and schedule everything around it. Okay, well, let's say that you've picked a program and that you're going to do it, and you're going to do it, you know, 3 days a week or 5 days a week, and you've told your family that this is what you're going to do. You've got your new shoes, you've got your new workout outfit, and you set your alarm, and boom, Monday has come, and you get up and you go to the gym. Okay, well, one of the things that you may not have realized is you may not have a single solitary clue about what to do. You may not have any idea of what kind of exercise program to do. Do you work, you know, what type of routine? Do you do a whole body thing? Do you split it into body parts and anything? Now you've reached a point where you might actually need some education. But let's say just for sake of this example, that you're going to go to a class. Okay, and you get up and you go to class, you don't really know what you're doing, and you attend the class and somehow you manage to survive that class, and even though you're a little hot and sweaty and stuff like that, and then you go home or you go to work. Okay, that's all good. So one of the things that I'd like to point out is that you have just succeeded at part one of your goal. You got up and you went and you did what you were supposed to do. Okay, and I think that this is where people kind of lose it because of their experience with short-term goals. Okay, part one is that you've completed your goal, you've done it once. Okay, well, maybe the next time or the next day when you decide that you've got all the intentions in place, that you decide that you're going to pop out of bed and you're going to go work out and then you're going to go to work. But instead, the following morning, you shut your alarm off and you sleep in. Or you wake up and you're so incredibly sore that it hurts to blink your eyeballs, and you go, oh, no, I'm not going to do this. Okay, well, here's a question for you. Did you fail? And a lot of people would go, oh, yeah, you know, it's just, you know, that's it. It's over. You know, going back and go back to the couch, and I'm going to get me a big bag of pork rinds, and I'm going to watch Ellen on TV or whatever. Okay, actually, you haven't failed. What you have done is that you've moved into the next phase of your goal. And what I call this phase is I call it occasionally. Because whenever you begin a new habit or a behavior or a change in your lifestyle, it takes time to work that into your schedule. You are occasionally getting up. You are occasionally going to work out. You are occasionally doing reading, walking, meditating, doing your diet plan, whatever it is. And that is 100% perfect for what you're doing, because you're entering into something that you've never done before, and it takes time to do it. Now, if you are doing the occasional thing, you're succeeding at your goal somewhere between 2 and 5 times out of 10. You know, sometimes you get up, sometimes you're too sore, sometimes your kid has a teacher's meeting, whatever it is, but you are occasionally making your workout. So in a 5-day period, you're going 1 or 2 times. This is awesome, and you should be very excited. Although I've noticed that people have a tendency to move the bar once they've succeeded it. Okay, the next phase after you have completed doing your occasional goals is you need to move into a next phase, which is what I call frequently, where you are frequently achieving your goal. So out of a 5-day period or a 10-day period that you are going 5 out of 7 times out of 10, it's getting easier for you to get up. It is getting easier. You're beginning to actually learn what to do in your workout class, or if you've taken on a new diet program, you've tasted, you know, 8 or 10 different recipes. You've either modified the recipes or decided that you actually don't like kale and you're going to substitute something else for kale. Me personally, I think kale tastes like lawn clippings, but you know, that's why they have opinions. All right. After you have begun frequently achieving your goal, okay, let's say that a couple of months have gone by, or as many as 6 months, and you're still going, but everything that you're doing is still conscious. This is still a new behavior, and it's a new habit. So you need to remember to schedule it in, and it needs to be important. It needs to be more important than watching TV, or somebody comes up and says, hey, we're going to go to the bar, you know, la, 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 and you stay out until midnight, but your class is at 5 in the morning. This is not going to be something that you're going to be able to do, you know, very frequently if you're going to achieve your goal. Because the next phase that we're looking for is called consistency. When your new behavior begins to automate, when it begins to become part of this is what you do, you know, 5 days a week or 3 days a week, Now you've moved to this level of consistency. Now the people in your life, your family or your spouse or your loved ones and stuff, they have long since gotten bored and wandered off, and they've stopped asking you about your goals. And I'll get to that towards the end of the show when we're talking about the 6 human needs. But this is where you really need to pay attention to doing your goals consistently, because in a very short period of time, these goals are going to become automated. And if you don't have some type of a tracking system, like you're measuring or you're taking pictures of yourself, or you have an accountability person, this is kind of where people kind of fall by the wayside. Okay. Once you've consistently been maintaining your goal, you still need to consistently have some type of measurement or tracking method so that you can monitor your goals. Because frequently, people can't tell, or they don't know what it feels like to be in shape, or they don't know what it feels like to lose weight. And they may be actually losing weight, they may be gaining muscle tissue at the same time, but they just can't feel it. So taking pictures or doing measurements and having an accountability person that can give you external feedback is going to be very important at this level. Okay, and I put some things in here that might be of use to you. For me personally, I've been working out. I've been doing yoga for about 15 years, and prior to that, I lifted weights, did martial arts and stuff like that. So I'm one of those people that I really don't know what it feels like to be out of shape, okay? But I do know that I have been around enough people who have been out of shape that it takes time for them to get back into shape. And when you're talking about long-term goals, going back to the very, very beginning of the difference between a short-term and a long-term goal is, what are you going to do when you achieve this goal? It's kind of like when you get people who they say that, oh, you know, money would solve all their problems. So they win $1 million. They just had a big lotto win, 3 lotto winners that won, I don't know, half a million or $500 million. What are they going to do tomorrow if they don't have a long term plan? They don't know what they're going to do. So you've got this. You know, you've got this goal. You wanted to lose 40 pounds. Bingo! I'm going to wave my magic pen. Now you've lost 40 pounds. Okay, how do you maintain it? What are you going to do next? You've put all this time and all this energy and all this effort. You know, you're going 5 or 6 days per week that you're going to the gym, and now you've hit this goal. Okay, what happens after that? And I think that that's where people kind of lose the concept. Okay, it's been said, in order to learn something, it takes 1,000 days, and I actually calculated it out. It's 2.7 years. So in 2.7 years, if you started working out at the end of little more than two and a half years, you'll actually know what to do, okay? And you will have worked through all these different time periods in your life. And I tell people this, like, well, when they have a relationship breakup or they get into a new relationship, or, you know, some major life experience happens, it takes time for these things to work into or out of your system. So 2.5, 3 years is probably a reasonable time period for you to automate this new lifestyle. That means for the next year, year and a half, that you're going to have to consistently monitor your progress so that you will be able to tell that you're making changes and that you're getting better. Okay. The other thing that I thought, it takes 10,000 days to master something. For most Americans, they do not have the slightest idea what 27 years will do in their life. And if you think about how people do what they do, you know, you've got doctors and lawyers or a carpenter or any type of skill, it takes years and years and years and years to learn your craft. But it also takes years and years and years of doing your craft until you actually master what you do. That's why martial arts and weight training and going to classes and things like that, there comes a time where you need to practice what you've learned. So, yeah. So one of the things that I'm going to be talking to you about is, you know, an ideal plan literally would be 5 years. Okay, so you go back to the person who is dieting or losing weight. A 5-year plan, which might seem a little bit overwhelming, is actually a series of 5 1-year interlocking goals. The first year or the first 2 years, you're actually going to be learning your craft. You're going to be learning how to exercise. You're going to learn how to manage yourself, how to hydrate, how to rest, you know, how much rest you need in between your exercise cycles. How do you work this into your daily schedule so that it's not so invasive that you lose all of your friends or your wife leaves you? Okay, that's the first couple of years. Then at some point, you are going to succeed. You're going to have lost that 40 pounds, or you're going to have achieved the physical condition that you're going to that you wanted to achieve. Now, how do you maintain it in a sensible way that works with the rest of your life and you don't have the rest of your life turned upside down? And the analogy that I came up with, what will make sense to a lot of people, and those of you who do not have children, it won't, okay? And so this example that I'm talking about is parenting, okay? Because I have been a parent, and I actually still am. But when you first become a parent, you suck at it. You suck at it really bad. You don't know what to do. You are tired. Your whole routine is turned upside down. You've got this little human, or it could be something simple like having a puppy as well, is you've got this little thing that you are now responsible for, and you don't have a single clue about what to do. And it can be overwhelming. But one of the things that's really interesting is that they have a mindset that they've made a choice, that they don't have a choice, and that they have to get better at this. And this is the same type of mindset that I want you to apply to your new long-term goal. You want to put yourself into a position in which success is your only option. Because if you're starting a dieting program or an exercise program, or you're going to school, you can expect to be tired. You can expect to be sore. You can expect to be confused. You can expect not to know what to do or how to respond to this new environment. And I looked up Hernan Cortez. When I was in school, they called him Hernando, but it's not. It's Hernan Cortez. This is a guy who conquered the Aztecs, and that word conquered is in quotations. Yeah, that's a completely different story. But The story goes is that they landed on a beach near Cozumel. And if you've been to Cozumel or been to the Yucatan in Mexico, it's very hot. It's humid. Most people don't know that the Yucatan has no natural water resources. They have things called cenotes where the rainwater fills up. So here's here's these guys wearing their armor from Europe, and they land on this beach, and they're going, uh-oh, what are we going to do now? And some of the guys are saying, hey, let's get out of here before we get dead. And Cortez makes a decision that he wants to succeed, and he wants to remove the possibility of his crew slipping out in the middle of the night. So while his crew is sleeping, he burns the boats. And the only way that they've got now to get back home is that they have to succeed at their goal. And I'm not really suggesting that you put yourself into a life-threatening situation, but I am suggesting that you approach your goal with the same seriousness that parents have to adopt for caring for a child. You have to do everything that you can do to learn as quickly as possible so that you can get back to some semblance of your recognizable life. Okay, and I use that, in tongue in cheek, because when you suddenly become a parent, you get a dog, you go to a new state, or you take on a new career. It's a new world, and it has new rules, and your old life has permanently changed, but it has changed for the better. Now, going back to the parents here for a second, if you'll see those same parents. I wouldn't say the day the child was born, because they're probably still smiling. What you need to do is go see them about a month later or 2 months later when they have these big dark circles underneath their eyes, and they look like, they're just trying to figure out, how on earth do I put this back? And they can't. Take a snapshot of them, and you go see the same parents 5 years later, and you'll notice that these parents, they've got it down, okay? They don't panic when their kid gets a cold or a sniffle, or he or she is now going to preschool and they're going to these different play dates and stuff like that. They're beginning to work into a schedule in which that their life has become manageable with this new component. And diet and exercise, going to school, getting into a new relationship, these skills are applicable. And one of the things that you would need to do, particularly if you've started a goal before and you haven't succeeded, I'm hoping that this conversation will help you extend your timeline a little bit so that your expectations of if you're, 25%, if 6 months have gone by and you are 25% completed with your goal, you're just about right on track. Anybody who says, I did this and I did it for 3 months and now I'm doing whatever, don't listen to them. The only thing that they have learned to do is exactly what somebody else has taught them to do. They have not achieved any level of mastery at this new skill. Okay, you need to talk to somebody who's been doing something for 2 to 5 years, and now that they've learned their skill sets, now they're beginning to blend that into their life. And one of the things that you will notice is that when you have truly achieved a long-term goal and you have achieved a long-term change in your lifetime, what you will notice is that it shows up in all of the contexts of your life. I use a measurement tool called a life wheel. And one of the things that I do is I measure people's level of satisfaction in each one of those areas of their life. It's how I know what to help them work on in a coaching situation. But as you carry forward into an exercise or a diet program or going to school, what you're going to notice is that it slowly absorbs into that person's life wheel. And this brings me to my last point of, if you've got somebody who has if they have a long-term goal, what you will notice is that that long-term goal, in order for it to be sustainable, it has to feed all of the six human needs. I did a show on the six human needs, but I'll just give you a quick review. Every human being has six basic needs that have nothing to do with food, shelter, and clothing. Okay? The six human needs are consistency or safety. The second one is variety or adventure. They need excitement. The third one is that they need connection, interaction. They need to interact with humans. It could be with nature. It could be with their new pet. They need love, which includes intimacy, touch, and it can include sex, but it does not have to. Also, the fifth one is growth. We all need to grow physically, mentally, and emotionally, and I also think that we grow spiritually, but that's a completely different topic. But we have to grow. And if we don't choose to grow, the universe has a really interesting way of forcing you to grow anyway. So you need to get that into your plan of going, okay, what am I doing to grow? Am I learning? Am I expanding? Am I changing the way that I'm doing what I'm doing? And then the last one, which is really, really interesting to me, which is significance. Okay, all humans need significance. They either need it in their family, they need it in their relationship, they need it at work, or that they need to find significance in doing something. And one of the things that I find most interesting is if they are not getting significance in a positive manner, then they will get significance in a negative manner. Okay, so you got an example would be like a teenager. If that teenager feels lost, or that teenager feels like they are not in any way significant, that they're just a number, okay, they will get significance. They will act up. They will act out. All humans will do this. And I think that it's really kind of important to point out that our senior population, which by the way, is growing every day, the baby boomers are beginning to age. They're beginning to retire. And they're used to being significant in their workplace or in what things that they were doing, and now they have retired and they're doing nothing. How are they getting their significance? If they're not getting their significance at home, they're going to get their significance somewhere else. One of the ways that you can do that is that you can get that significance in your class. You can teach. You can learn to cook. You can do things that will allow you to stand out in a way that is positive. Okay, so just briefly, thank you for listening to the show today. I know we covered a lot of material today, so I recommend that you listen to this once or twice. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me at drm@drmichaelharris.com. You can also call me I have a Google telephone number, 214-722-3774. It's on my website to do it. You can also find me on Facebook, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks.